us move quickly today. We do have some time constraint. It's Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. In addition to this, the document that we had given you, the scripture application of repenting and believing. Scripturally, what does that mean? What is the scripture application of it? What means this? What is this meaning? Scripturally speaking, we shall, in that vein, we shall, looking at some passages, actually going back over and rehearsing a few of them, make sure that everybody's on the same page and we understand, amen, what the scripture actually teach concerning these things. All right, everybody's got Titus chapter 3. It's been a while. For a couple of weeks, have not been able to minister to you. We thank God that we are able to this morning. So now we take back up in our series. A basic series is the scripture doctrine of regeneration. Eternally, what are you? Regeneration is what you are. Right. What are you in Christ? Amen. Use the term born again. What does that mean? Amen. Actually, it is again birth. What is your again birth? Is it something uncharted in its reality? Is it the manifestation of that which was done in your behalf? What does the word again mean? Is that which had prior association.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. And so, manifestation reaches back to reflect that which has already occurred.
Yes.
You can stand in some valley and you can say hello and you may hear that echo some 10, 11, 12 times, depending upon how deep the valley is. Amen. The echoes what we are experiencing in this life. The echoes are the manifestation of that which actualized of the first one that was sounded. You say hello. That's the actualization or enactment of the occurrence of saying hello. Even though you may hear it reflected or echoed many, many, many times. We stand before awesome responsibility in this ministry this morning, and beginning in the fall, we shall embark upon ministering of doctrinally conveying through the scriptures that an occurrence happens or something is actualized when God perceived it, and that God perceived it in eternity. And what we are experiencing through perception is the manifestation or testimony of that which God has already done.
Already. Yes, sir.
Revelations 13 and 8 definitively declares that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. Slain means died, killed. Amen. A sacrifice,
yes,
which would throw some confusion in the mind of some, because the question would be, well, did he die 2,000 years ago? The answer would be yes. We have the testimony of the manifestation of Jesus' sacrificial death upon the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. But here you have to separate, amen, the initial act with the echo.
Come on here.
The initial act occurred in eternity.
Yes.
The echo was 2,000 years ago.
Yes.
And if you don't understand that,
that's right,
then you've got to come up with some subsequent doctrines to cover some loopholes.
That's right.
How did God go into the Garden of Eden and save Adam when he had transgressed to the point of receiving the penalty of death? Why didn't God just go in there and wipe him out? When he destroyed the world, why was Noah and his family spared? Was Noah any better than those around him? I can give you the answer to that. No. Abraham, was he any better? No. Abraham was an idol worshiper. He was down in Ur of the Chaldeans, and he was serving idols like the rest of the Gentiles, because Abraham was a Gentile before he was ever, amen, a Hebrew. What special favor of God? And then how could God separate him from the rest when he was no better than the rest?
Come on here.
How could, oh my God, how?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
How could it be? How could it? David, a man after God's own heart.
Oh, Lord.
God said this. Who committed to both adultery and murder. And according to the law, he should have been wiped out. Yes. How could God possibly spare him?
Yes.
How?
Yes.
Children of Israel, after receiving the orders from God, they say, if you obey me, I'll bless you. But if you disobey me, I'm going to curse you.
Right.
I'm going to wipe you out.
Right.
Amen. Why? Why isn't Israel destroyed? Amen. Why could Paul say, and so all Israel shall be saved?
Hey.
What has spared them?
Come on. Free.
Somebody said, well, they died looking toward Calvary. Show me that in the scriptures.
Come on.
Amen. Because to say that Jesus spared him when there was no blood, and there was no justification, is to say that God acted without justification, amen, saying that I'll pay for it later. Amen. Now that's the way we do business, but God doesn't. We go and we use the credit cards, and we make what we call a purchase transaction, but we haven't really bought that thing. Amen. You know, amen, that the fat lady has a son. It's not over. Amen. Because within 30 days, you're going to get a statement to let you know that, in fact, you're just beginning.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so, the debt is there. Amen. That is the setting of God's sake. Those before, amen, the manifestation of the death of Jesus 2,000 years ago, that is to say that God saved them on credit. How sad to say that God would act unjustly. How could God be just and justify the ungodly even before Jesus manifestly saved upon Calvary? The only answer to that, the only plausibility to that, is that
from the beginning,
the blood of Jesus was always available because it was already shed in eternity.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so when we understand this, we are able to comprehend that all the workings of salvation occurred in eternity. Amen. No, none of them were manifested, but they occurred. And amen, a thing actually comes into realism, it actually comes into existence when God perceives it, not when we perceive it, but when God perceives it. Amen.
Hallelujah.
It may not have been manifested,
right,
but it was real.
Right.
Huh?
Amen.
Because it existed, mm-hmm, because God said it,
mm-hmm,
in the decree.
That's right.
All right, Titus chapter 3. Mm-hmm. Verse 5, everybody say amen.
Amen.
All right. For the sake of time, elders, let's start verse 3. Brother Deacon, start, mm-hmm, verse 3.
From the interlinear or?
Start with the King James, and then we'll read the interlinear, the Greek interlinear after that. All right, read. Everybody got in your Bibles, Titus chapter 3, verse 3. Again, say amen.
Amen.
All right, read.
For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish,
mm-hmm,
disobedient,
mm-hmm,
deceived,
mm-hmm,
serving divers lusts,
mm-hmm,
and pleasures,
mm-hmm,
living in malice and envy,
mm-hmm,
hateful,
mm-hmm,
and hating one another.
That's right. He said, we ourselves also, which what Paul is saying there, if you look at all of these things that are assessed to depraved mankind, we were all of that too. We were no different.
Sure.
Amen. You cannot assess a difference between those whom he has saved, mm-hmm, and those, amen, who are not saved.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. All come out of the same bag.
Right.
All depraved, all sinful, all of mankind. Every man that is born, he is born in the sin, with the sin nature, a nature that is capable of every one of these acts he just read.
Absolutely.
No different from anyone else.
Yes,
so no, there was nothing special that attracted God, amen, to save you. Not a thing. Amen. When he sees us and nakedly, he sees depraved debauchery. Amen. That which is putrefied. Amen. And not acceptable to him. Oh, we thank God for the blood of Jesus. Verse 4.
But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared.
After looking at all of this. After that. Beside the fact of what we are. Huh? In spite of the fact. For what we were. In spite of the fact that we are depraved creatures. We have the kindness and love of God, our Savior, in spite of that.
Yes.
Oh my God. Somebody, you know, nobody should have to try to, amen, come up with some gimmicks to get you to serve the Lord. That's ludicrous. To give away some trinkets to get you to come. To titillate your senses by entertaining you to get you to come. Amen. Huh? This thing is not by aggrandation, aggrandizing the flesh. This thing is about appreciation. Oh my God. In gratitude of looking back in eternity and seeing that in spite of this, the loveliness and kindness of God has appeared. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Keep reading.
Oh, glory. Not by works of righteousness which we have done,
mm-hmm,
but according to his mercy.
According to his mercy.
He saved us.
According to his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Glory.
That's the only explanation. God had mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's the only difference between Noah going into the other dispensation.
Right.
And those around him that died.
Right.
That's the only difference between Abraham,
yes,
and those Gentiles, mm-hmm, that God, amen, had no association with.
That's
the only difference between you, amen, and the worst individual out of there, amen. It is the mercy of God.
Yes.
I mean, God loved you.
Yes.
In spite of yourself.
Yes.
Oh, my God. He withheld judgment.
Yes.
And he saved you in spite of who you are.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Read. If we got a ways to go this morning, keep reading.
He saved us by the washing of regeneration.
Washing regeneration.
And renewing of the Holy
Spirit. Renewing
Holy
Spirit.
Which he shed on us abundantly.
Shed upon us abundantly.
Through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by
don't
his.
Go to the Greek there because, amen.
That's right.
That should not.
That's right.
That is an heiress. By the simple. Oh, my God. Being justified by his grace, we'll straighten up in a minute.
All right. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
All right. Now, let's go to verse 5, because we pushed for time this morning. Now, here at the Grace Gospel Church, we preach and we teach from the Greek manuscripts. What are the Greek manuscripts? The Greek manuscripts are copies of the original writings of which the scholars use to write the different translations of the Bible that you have. If you have a King James, amen, you trace the history of that document, goes back to 1611. King James of England, he authorized some Greek scholars, amen, supposedly to take copies of these manuscripts and give an English translation of that which you have. Amen. I really do believe that they were honest, but as all men, they were prejudiced.
Sure.
Amen.
Sure.
And some things they put down, amen, were not what they pulled out of the manuscripts.
Absolutely not.
So what we do is we take the same documents, copies of the same manuscripts that they use, and we go into them ourselves, and we look, and we see, and we study, and we extract, amen, and we compare, because we really want to know what is said, not someone's rendition of what is said.
Right. Amen. Amen.
With that said, some of us have Greek interlineals. In the Greek interlinear, you have the Greek writings, and under it, you have the English. That's what the interlinear is. For those of us who have our copies, by the way, I do have some more upstairs. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, because there is some difference in the reading there from what is expressed in the King James and some of the other translations.
Right. Right.
Amen. One of them very critical.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All who has an interlinear Greek Bible and you have Titus chapter 3, verse 5, say amen.
Amen.
All right. But you can read.
Not by works in righteousness.
He's talking about the kindness and love of God that has appeared to you is not by works in righteousness.
Which did we.
Which you did. But which simply means the love and kindness of God has nothing to do with you or your involvement. God didn't save Noah because he thought he was a good fellow.
Oh, no. Oh.
Huh?
Oh.
And, you know, in the Bible stories that your teeth, when we were small, we used to kind of get the idea that these characters in the Bible were perfect.
Uh-huh.
All you got to do is read. You see some perfection in every one of them. What's the first thing Noah did after the flood was over?
That.
Became inebriated. He got drunk. Huh?
Amen.
Yeah,
I said, well, isn't that terrible? Well, some of the things that we do, terrible. I said, well, not as bad as that. Well, who says who? I said, well, his is worse than mine. Says who? You know, we condemn others, amen, for the things that they do, and somehow we're just able to accommodate that which we do.
Right. Right.
Huh? Right. It's someone said to me one time, well, what's wrong is depending upon who's doing it. That's not true. No, it's not. Huh? The standard of God is there.
Yes.
And we all fall short of it, don't we? Oh, yes. Hmm? So it's not by works. Forget about works. Forget about your participation. Forget about your goodness, your righteousness. You don't have any. But how is this done? Read.
But according to the of him mercy.
According to his mercy.
He saved us.
He saved us.
Through washing of regeneration.
Through washing regeneration.
And renewal.
And renewal
of Holy
Spirit. You got double genitives there. Well, I won't get into that this morning. Hallelujah. It's washing, regeneration, renewal, Holy Spirit. And verse 6 says he did what?
Which he shed on us.
And this is why we go richly to the interlineal. That verb there that they're saying shed is the verb azacline, which actually is translated poured. Poured is stronger. Amen. If something is poured, there's something poured on you. The individual that's doing the pouring has control of it. Amen. So yes, this was part of. Oh my God, isn't that something?
Hallelujah.
This was part.
Glory to God. Yes.
It was poured on you.
Yes, amen. Glory.
It was poured on you.
Thank God.
God Almighty, come on here.
Poured. Hallelujah.
God's mercy was poured on the Apostle Paul.
Yes, it was.
He was out there killing Christians.
Yes, it was.
Oh, yes, he was. And he, by his own testimony, he said, not only did I blaspheme, he said, I caused a lot of others to blaspheme. Because he would line them up and say, if you don't renounce Christ, amen, we're going to kill you. And some of them renounced Christ because they loved their life. But didn't they? What? Oh my gosh! Didn't they? What? When they lost? Didn't they lose? No. Thank God. Well, I wouldn't do that. You don't know. We are grateful to God that we live in a country where we have freedom to practice our beliefs. There are those who have lived in countries where they outlawed the assembling for any type of religion, not to mention Christianity.
That's right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And men of God's people complied to save their hide. And don't say what you won't do until you're faced with that situation. Because it's not about what you do, it's because what God will allow you or cause you to do in that situation.
Amen.
And it's not you.
Amen.
Amen. But again, what we're trying to point out is that God is working and God is moving, and He is, our God, He is not influenced or dictated to by what we do. God does what God does according to what it pleases God to do, amen, and it is not determined by what we do. I don't know if folks used to say, if you make one step, you make two. No. And that comes from the statement John Wesley made many years ago, that people to this day make the statement that is in the Bible. And that is, he made the statement that God helped those that helped themselves. And that's not in the Bible. That's ludicrous. That's crazy. If I can help myself, I won't need God. He do help me if I help myself. If I can help myself, my God. Then I don't need God to help me, do I? I don't need you to help me if I don't already help myself. I only need your help if I can't help myself. But the scripture's here. He poured it. Read on.
Which he shed or poured on us richly through Jesus Christ, the Savior of us.
All right, now verse 7.
In order that, here we go, being justified.
Okay, he blew that too. That is an aorist participle there. That participle is dikaiophindes. It is in the aorist tense. What is the aorist tense? It's a completed action. So that should not read being justified, which is the present tense. That should read having been justified. It's a difference. In fact, it's a big difference as to whether you are on your way somewhere or whether you've already been there.
All right.
Because if you're on your way there, something might interrupt your journey.
Absolutely.
But if you've been there,
Come on.
It's a done deal.
Hallelujah.
So, certain something we don't sing here. We don't sing, I'm on my way to heaven. You're not on your way to, my God, you're not on your way to heaven. You are already in Christ. And Christ is your heaven.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're not trying to get to heaven. You are sitting right now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're there. It's done.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Preach that.
Thank God.
Having been justified. And this is why we go to the Greek and in the lineal. Because we want to know that we're already justified. We don't want to think that we are being justified because something could happen in the justification process and you don't get there.
Hallelujah.
Amen. One of the most unsettling feelings a Christian could have, a child of God could have, is not knowing what your eternal status is. You're not trying to get saved.
Amen.
And this is what we were saying earlier. Your devotion can't be flawed. Your devotion is flawed when the motive is wrong. If you're doing a thing because you're trying to get to heaven instead of the appreciation that you are in heavenly places, amen, you got the wrong motive. You can get more out of the person who is appreciating the fact that he's already in heavenly places than a person that's trying to get there. We're in the heavenlies. In Christ. Right now. Amen. There's nothing that can interrupt that which is complete. It's complete. It's done. Justification is a done deal. Salvation is a done deal. Your salvation is complete.
Yes.
In order that what?
In order
having
that
been justified.
Having been justified. By the of that one grace.
By grace.
As we.
What is grace? Grace. It's an unmerited favor. No, I think we have to speak stronger than that. Grace means no merit.
No merit.
No merit means no input.
Right.
No input means no participation. No participation means it's not based upon anything that you did.
Hallelujah.
You can do.
That's right.
Not for salvation. We don't serve him because we're trying to be saved. We serve him because we are saved. I don't love him, amen, because I'm trying to get to heaven. I love him because, amen, I'm in the heavenlies.
Yes. Yes.
And which one of those you going to get more love and appreciation out of? That you die or that you're on the way there? Huh? Oh, my God. Read.
By the of that one grace,
mm-hmm.
heirs we might become.
Oh my God.
According to a hope of life eternal.
All right. Now, here we have an infinitive. We have here a verb. I'm sorry. We have a verb, amen, that is in what we call a subjunctive mood. But it's also in the aorist tense.
Also.
It is the verb yenithomi. Become. Mm-hmm. So here it is translated, we might become, mm-hmm. which adequately deals with the subjunctive mood, because the subjunctive mood is a subjunctive mood mm-hmm. is a probability.
Right. But.
But you also have the aorist tense. The aorist tense is a completed action. Yeah. So here you have a completed probability. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if you were going to express that purely as it's written, and we don't talk that way, it would read, might become, having become.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about, Paul? I'm talking about the fact the probability is in the manifestation stream.
Mm-hmm.
Of the probability is that
yes.
it's probable only in the sense that the manifestation of it hasn't occurred.
Mm-hmm.
But it is solidified by the fact that is a completed action.
Solidified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And the completeness of it is based on the fact that it was actualized, it has come into existence because God has perceived it, and because God has perceived it, it has occurred. It exists. Even though it's not manifested, it's true this morning.
Yes.
You are heirs.
Yes.
You're not on your way to becoming heirs.
Yes.
You are the heir of God.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
You are joint heir with Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Right now.
Right now.
You are joint heir of that which belongs to Christ.
Glory.
Right now.
Right now. Thank you.
Because God has perceived it,
mm-hmm.
even though it's not manifested
mm-hmm.
yet. Huh?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Lord.
It's real because God has decreed it.
Decreed it.
Even though you don't see it yet.
Mm-hmm.
We have our glorified bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not manifested,
right.
God has decreed it.
Hallelujah.
And it's true this morning. We are glorified.
Yes.
Not manifestly,
yes.
but actually we are glorified. You got to hear me this. So you see all these aorist tense,
mm-hmm.
as it relates to being glorified,
mm-hmm.
as it relates to being saved,
mm-hmm.
as it relates to being justified.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Because along the way, sometimes, we run into problems. Oh, yes, we do.
Sure. Sure.
Huh?
Sure.
And if we don't know this from day to day, you don't know whether you're saved or not based upon
mm-hmm.
what your state of affairs might be.
That's right.
Huh? So I messed up. I'm not saved anymore.
Oh,
huh?
Lord.
Huh?
Hallelujah.
But you see, that thing was decreed.
Yes, sir.
And we're not trying to highlight, we're not trying to, amen, preach a doctrine that says go out there and mess up, amen.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, when you look at all of God's servants, amen, every last one of them messed up.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Even in the Old Testament, the writer said, the Lord would regard iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
Who would be saved?
Who
would survive?
Who?
Huh? None of us. None of us. Now we always have to go and deal with that because one of the swipes that's always taken against those that preach the doctrine of the grace of God. It's to say, the doctrine of grace, if it is taught, and give the people a license to sin. Mm-hmm. Paul dealt with that. Mm-hmm. Romans 6 and 1. Mm-hmm. What does it say? Mm-hmm. Shall we sin more so the grace of God
will abound?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
How can you who are dead to sin,
live in the longer?
Yeah. Huh? Be wedded to that which you have been
right.
separated from.
Right.
This is what he's saying.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So no. And even John in his writings.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Our little children, I'm writing some things to you so that you can sin.
No,
it didn't. He said so that you don't sin.
You're not.
Amen. Yes.
So it's not based upon that. Now, I want you, for the time that we got left, which is not much, if you have the document, the scripture application of believing and repenting. Now, we have quite a task here at the Grace Gospel Church. That is, we've got to convey to God's people and for all of those that the Spirit would give understanding to.
Mm-hmm.
That salvation is not condition.
Come on.
It's not conditional. There are no conditions. When you get to the gospel of the grace of God, when you're preaching, I'll just term it pure grace.
Mm-hmm.
It ought to be enough to just say grace.
Right.
But see, they have qualified grace so much. They talk about prevenient grace, mm-hmm. prevailing grace, saving grace, and you know, enabling grace.
Yeah.
So we have put so many adjectives in front of grace, amen, until it becomes necessary for us to say pure grace.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're teaching grace, no merit,
mm-hmm.
it simply means mm-hmm. that there are no conditions,
none.
No requirements,
none.
No requisites
mm-hmm.
for you to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation is about what God has done,
amen.
Not about what you can do. Now we are told that God has basically made a situation possible for you to be saved. There's something that you got to do to complete the transaction. And basically what has been taught, listen to me, is that you must confess and you must believe
mm-hmm.
and you must accept Christ
mm-hmm.
and you must be baptized, you must speak in tongues,
mm-hmm.
you must
mm-hmm.
all of these conditions,
all of them,
none of which
mm-hmm.
fit into the salvation process.
None.
Now, manifestation wise, do God's people believe? Yes. In most instances.
Mm-hmm.
In many, many instances.
Mm-hmm.
Do God's people repent? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In many instances, but not all instances.
Mm-hmm. Bring it out, Pastor. Bring it all out.
That is, if you really, really understand
mm-hmm.
what repentance is.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from the Greek word metanoia,
mm-hmm.
which means a change of mind,
mm-hmm.
a change of heart. And what they've done is they have gone into the kingdom gospel scriptures
mm-hmm.
and extracted certain scriptures,
yes.
such as Acts 2:38.
Mm-hmm.
and say, you must repent and be baptized to be saved. That understanding, amen, that Peter is dealing with the new covenant of Jeremiah 31:31 and the other prophecies, which says that your old men shall dream dreams and your young shall do what?
See visions.
Amen. There will be prophecies, and they will speak with tongues. Yeah. Amen. All of these things that occurred in Acts chapter 2 and 3 were in, amen, manifestation of what was prophesied.
Yeah.
In Isaiah and Jeremiah and all through the major amount of prophecies of those eras. Mm-hmm. But when you get to the pure gospel grace, and you go into the writings of the epistles of Paul, you don't see him talking about repenting to be saved.
No.
Not even baptism.
No.
Not even baptism. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. You don't see that. Mm-mm. And the craziest thing is the big fight. And you know, when you're out here and you're doing things, you're not scripturally based, it always goes off in a different tangents. Mm-hmm. There's a big fight about baptism. Mm-hmm. Huge fight. First of all, how does it be done? Mm-hmm. Some say sprinkle. And they got scriptures for it. We can go ahead and show you. Go back in the Old Testament. I can show you where they sprinkle.
Sure.
Some say submerge. Mm-hmm. We show you scriptures. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Sure.
And yes, it means to saturate. Mm-hmm. And then even those that agree that it is submersion have differences of how it's carried out.
Yes.
And what is said.
Right.
And it is taught that if you don't say the right thing, you're not saved.
Uh-huh.
So you go over to one camp and they baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
You go to the other camp and they say, oh no, you're not saved because you haven't been baptized right.
Right.
Say, we got to do it like the Bible says.
Yeah.
And the one has got some scripture over there in Matthew.
Yeah.
And he has scripture.
Yeah.
And the other one is turning to Acts 2:38.
Yeah.
Don't you know that something as vital and as life forceful as salvation cannot be predicated upon what someone says or doesn't say? It is pure spiritual unintelligence. It causes one to think like that. And so it's about what you say or what you do. And then one said, well, you can't just say Jesus Christ. You got to say Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. Right.
So you're all over the place.
All over.
When baptism is simply a ceremony. There's a big fight because here's a man to really throw another monkey wrench into their doctrines. Here's someone up on the cross said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, this day you be with me in paradise. So someone said, well, Jesus could do that. He could make that exception in that one case.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
salvation is not based upon physicality. Nothing physical. Nothing ceremony. Nothing that you do. You're believing. You're accepting. You're repeating a sinner's prayer. That is the most ludicrous thing. God saved you because you stood up before an altar and repeated a sinner's prayer. How ridiculous that is. There's no scripture for it. Now they're going to come after us. But I'm not the least bit intimidated. Because somewhere right now, someone is giving an altar call. And they're singing songs like, make up your mind while you got time. And where some are saying, come on, come on, because you can walk out of here.
Yeah.
Car might hit you, truck might hit you.
Yeah.
You're dead.
Yeah.
And you're in hell.
Mm-hmm.
You see how you see how fragile we make salvation.
Yes, we did. So
this is why we have to go into Titus. Mm-hmm. And my time is up this morning. But we have to go into Titus.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to see that the workings of salvation is eternal.
Yes, yes.
It's about God, what God did before you got here.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Hallelujah.
It's about what God did before he created you.
Yes.
Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he chose us in him, when? Before creation.
That's right.
Before the foundation of the world. So my stickability and stayability is what God did for me before I was ever created.
Ooh. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Thanks.
That's right.
Glory.
That's right.
If you're going to worry about something this morning,
mm-hmm.
don't let it be heaven.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory.
But really, if you get this thing about heaven straight, then you got everything else straight. Reshake you about life is reshake you about salvation.
Right. That's it.
Huh?
Right.
If you don't have no confidence in God concerning your salvation, how can you have confidence in him to pay your bills or do anything else? Huh? Because you're not sure whether he saved you or not.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be sure he's going to keep you if you can't be sure he has saved you. And you'll begin to think that thing is based upon you.
Right. That's it. Amen.
Now what we're striving to do here at the Grace Gospel Church is to teach the essence of what your salvation engenders so that you will have confidence. You have confidence in your salvation, you can have confidence in life. You have confidence in life, we get rid of some of this stress. God's people are stressed out. We're stressed out. We're just as stressed as the world. We're just as shaky as the world. We have no more confidence than the world has. We have blindness on. We can't see. And this is why we go to salvation. Because if you get salvation straight, then you're going to get everything else straight. Now I'm going to take the rest of the summer. I'm going to finalize some sections, the document, the scriptural application, and essence of regeneration, then I'm going to give the entire document to you in the fall, some 40 some pages. I'll make it available anyway. And even though we won't get through it all, we are certainly praying that God will allow you to read it. Because if there is nothing else that you get straight, you get your salvation straight. You know that you are safe. We got to know that we're safe. Don't you want to know that you're safe? Huh? Huh? We sing the song, but we want more than just, we want to know it. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Doing what? Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace of mind. Why? Because I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. And I'm safe and secure from all along. This doesn't mean that nothing's going to happen to you. Saints get in accidents.
Yes.
Saints lose their jobs.
Yes.
Saints get killed.
In this
life.
In this one, yes.
But we're speaking about everlasting life.
Yes.
That which goes beyond the grave.
Hallelujah.
And beyond the temporary essence of what we walk in. Amen. And this is why, amen, with the knowledge we can say, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other grounds sink in sand. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Why? But wholly, completely, absolutely lean on Jesus' name. So my life is more than my job, my home where I live in, the car I drive. Huh? It is more than whether my arthritis is acting up or not. Huh? You don't hear me? It is more. Can you say more?
More.
Amen. Than the things that are around me. Ah, look beyond that. For he has taken me up into the eternal. Oh, in the vertical sphere where I see things like God sees them. And to know that you are safe, you are secure, because before he ever created you, he placed you in the body of Christ. And it is in Christ that you are safe. We'll continue.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for his rich, rightly divided, properly exegeted word.